This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to the second half of the Common Sense Show. Hope you're not just joining us. Many listeners just come online here at this top of this hour. Have had a lively show so far, and we're sure glad you're a part of it. You can go to my website and see our whole schedule. Sign up for email alerts at www.jimbrownusa.com. I write a column every week. This week's column I wrote about whether or not the federal government, primarily the FBI, should have the right to break into your iPhone. And, you know, it seems like a pretty straightforward request. The FBI wants to open up a criminal's iPhone to see if a future crime can be stopped or learn about a present crime. And this is all tied into that San Bernardino shooter situation. And so, but Apple is saying, wait a minute, the issue is much bigger than this. Initially, that looked like they were trying to kind of work things out, but the tone between Apple and the FBI now seems to be openly hostile. I want to help put it in perspective for you. This is important. It has massive, not just national, but international consequences, implications in terms of not just your privacy, but the rights of, and the right protection of privacy for businesses all over the world. Put it in perspective, we've got Professor Christopher Copeland joining me right now. He's director of the Institute of Homeland Security and Cybercrime, School of Criminology, Criminal Justice, and Strategic Studies at Tarleton State University on the Fort Worth campus. Hey, Professor Copeland, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show.
Oh, happy to be here, Jim.
You know, it sounds, when I first saw this whole thing about Apple getting to somebody's phone, it seemed two questions came up. Number one, it seemed to be a simple issue that if you're trying to get rid of the bad guys or the good guys, well, you know, get all the information you want, number one. But then the second thought I'm thinking, wait a minute. We got this national security agency supposed to have the greatest technicians and the greatest of minds in the world to solve these problems and deal with international cybercrime. And yet they can't figure this out on their own. They got to get Apple to help them do this. And then, of course, you got the third issue of the fact that it's not like Apple just, they can open up a file cabinet and say, here you go, here are the documents, that they're asking Apple to almost create something brand new. Help put this in perspective for us. It's not quite as simple as some people believe, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, it's a really complicated issue at hand. You're right. We do have laws in the country that allow law enforcement to come in and access information. This is either through subpoenas or search warrants. And in some cases, even the Patriot Act allow law enforcement to come in and grab information pertinent to an investigation or to national security. That's what set that aside, because that's not even in question here. And I think that's where the conversation nationally has been for a while. The phone that was in question in San Bernardino was owned by the county of San Bernardino and was subsequently seized, and there's no question about whether the FBI has the right to do it. The second part, being...
Wait a minute now, Professor, Chris, just so we're straight, you're saying...
Okay.
No doubt that they had the right to seize the phone is what you're saying, right? It's
absolutely.
Seizing it and getting into it are two different issues. In other words, we all agree that if it's part of a criminal investigation, the phone itself could be seized. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
In fact, it didn't even have to be seized. They handed it over. It's just that the formality of law and the way the search warrants work, quote-unquote, seized.
Right.
The second part is that the tech you were talking about, with the NSA, the National Security Administration, is you know, they're the ones that kind of helped build the encryption algorithms, the complicated mathematic and cryptographic algorithm that was used to encrypt the phone. The NSA is the one who sponsors the evolution of cryptography in the United States and worldwide, actually. So, yes, they are kind of at fault in terms of the tech that's used, but the reason is because they use the same technology for, you know, the U.S. government and for our military. So they want the encryption to be as strong as possible. So, yes, they have the ability to do it. It's just that it will take them a long time. Also, it's not the NSA's job. The NSA is a national security entity. It's not an investigative entity, and they have no investigative powers. They're intelligence.
But the FBI, wouldn't they respond, or those who are pushing the FBI's position, wait a minute, these San Bernardino shooters were Muslims, that was this some kind of an overall plot or terrorist plot, or were there other terrorists involved, and that goes to other acts of terrorism in this country? So therefore, that would be a national security issue, because, in other words, if it was just some redneck down my way that started shooting up some people, that may not be considered national security. But when you've got the scenario of San Bernardino, would that then lead one federal agency to tell the NSA, look, this could have national security implications. We need you to get into this thing. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in one regard, the FBI certainly has liaisons to other agencies like the NSA, CIA, the DIA. They have liaisons. They can reach out and ask for assistance. But in terms of national security, this actually falls under the FBI's jurisdiction anyway. The FBI has a national security role as well. They have a counterintelligence role. So,
right.
Yes, they can reach out to the NSA and request some assistance. But the FBI actually has some of the best laboratories and environments in the world to decrypt phones. So it would be okay for them to reach out to the NSA, but the FBI pretty much has everything that they would need to do this regardless.
And as I understand it,
go ahead.
Right. And as I understand it, in testimony before Congress just last week, the head of the FBI was asked a question. He was asked, didn't Apple tell you how to open up the phone? Didn't they tell you that if you don't change the password, they told him specifically how to do it? I'm quoting from Republican Representative Jason Chavez here. He says, with all due respect to the FBI, they didn't do what Apple had told them to do in order to retrieve the data, correct? I mean, when they went to change the password, they kind of screwed things up, did they not? In other words, Apple initially cooperated by saying, look, don't change the password. We're going to tell you how to unlock the phone. And the FBI didn't pay any attention to them. Does that sound correct? That's what I read in the New York Times.
So I listened to all 5 hours of testimony just a few days ago for my own research purposes. And, yes, that's exactly what happened. You know, Director Comey was very forthcoming in his testimony to the hearing committee. It was a mistake that was made. These things happen during investigations. You know, the mistakes are made sometimes. They're human people. That's going to happen. But, yes, unfortunately, in this particular instance, one of the technicians working for the county of San Bernardino was instructed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to try to reset the password for the iCloud account on the phone. In doing so, that locked the phone down from Apple's normal means of obtaining information from a backup.
I got it. Professor, before you go on, I've got to take a little pause right now and tell our listeners we're talking to Professor Christopher Copeland. He is director of the Institute of Homeland Security and Cybercrime, and he's really an expert in this area now about, you know, what is the responsibility of a major corporation, not just to give over information, but to develop techniques to assist in a criminal investigation. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. You can read, about, by the way, about Dr. Copeland and all about our show at www. www.jimbrownusa.com. Let's pause for a break, and we'll come right back to talk about the FBI versus Apple.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at gcnlive.com.
If you're a contractor working at home spilt before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500 per day per violation. If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties, property spilt before 1978, you too could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500. We're Kachina. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions. Helping contractors and landlords comply with the new lead paint laws. Avoid the penalties. If you work on pre-78 house, you must certify your firm. You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint. If positive, you must use lead safe work practices. You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit. This law is enforced by the EPA or your state. If you remodel or rent properties built before 78, call Kachina for free information and a free phone audit. Call 888-800-5224. 888-800-5224. KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com. Call is free. The audit is free. 888-800-5224. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're exploring this FBI controversy with Apple. Apple being asked to basically develop a new system so the FBI can break into someone's iPhone. In fact, Senator Marco Rubio in the recent debate said, well, all we're trying to do is crack one phone in the entire world. And I think we'll talk about that. I think he's dead wrong. Apple's ordered to build an entire new system that's going to allow decryption of any phone. And so what's the right thing to do? Should Apple be forced to do this? One of the San Bernardino shooting victims so said this week that we want to raise our children in a world where privacy is that we don't want to raise our children in a world where privacy is the trade-off for security. And the Wall Street Journal has come out strongly in favor of Apple's concerns. With me right now is Professor Christopher Copeland. He is professor and a director of the Institute of Homeland Security and Cybercrime, Tarleton State University over the Fort Worth campus. Professor, you get a call. We get off the show. The show is over. Your telephone rings, and the President of the United States is on. And he says, Professor Copeland, you know, I listen to Jim Brown's show every single Sunday religiously, and I heard your interview today. What would you advise me to do as president? What's the right thing to do? Should we force Apple to build this new decryption system that could be hacked in by hackers all over the world, putting at jeopardy all kinds of sensitive financial and national security data? Because we see what hackers have done. They break into the Social Security system and every other system the government has. Or should we force them to do that, or should we protect Apple's privacy? What would you tell the president?
Well, the president's already come out against Apple in this particular instance. But if I were in that situation, I would say, you know, privacy and security are paramount to a modern age. You know, there's nothing that we do in our daily lives now that isn't directly tied to the Internet in some way within one or two steps. So maintaining privacy and security in our data transmissions is paramount to any modern technology or any social infrastructure that we use today. I mean, everything is tied to the Internet.
And I happen to agree with you, although we both agree that if it's requesting data that under the Constitution, you know, you have certain protections, but if it's relevant to a criminal investigation, the FBI or any law enforcement agency can go to a judge, convince a judge that it's relevant to investigating a crime and seize that information. But this is not what Apple is being asked to do now. They're asked to basically sit down with their engineers and do what you said. You commented earlier how sophisticated the FBI was with their technology, with their ability to deal with encryption issues or decryption issues. They couldn't do it, and so now they're turning to Apple. It just seems like the request is just so broad that it opens up a variety of other issues. You think this case will go to court or not?
Oh, it's already in court. And I think the question is, how far up the court chain will it go? My guess is that it will go to at least the District Court of Appeals. And if the government is unhappy with the outcome there, it could be Supreme Court bound. The question comes down to, does the government have the right to ask under the specific provisions that it's asking for a third party? The government has a very solid case in compelling Apple to do this based on the motions that I've read. Based on the counter arguments that Apple has filed with the court, Apple has a very good defense. And at the same time, you have two different circuit courts. One that ruled for the FBI, and that's how this whole thing started. Judge Sherry Pym said, let's go ahead and compel Apple to do this. And then you have another district court that said, no, Apple isn't required to break its own encryption schemes. So now that you have conflicting opinions at the federal level, there's nothing to do but let the courts decide.
Well, obviously this is going to take some time. This won't be decided here in the near future and going for a long time. Let me ask you this before we shut down for our break. Tell us about the Institute of Homeland Security and Cybercrime. What is your focus? What is your primary goals and responsibilities over there at that Fort Worth campus?
Well, our primary goals are to do exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm talking about digital forensics, about cybercrimes. I'm also really focused on helping the law enforcement community understand technology, apply technology, and learn basic boots-on-the-ground techniques. You know, this Apple case is actually a prime example of the things that I do over at the Institute, and that's to help law enforcement officers go about obtaining this information legally and in a way that would help criminal investigations in the long term. So this is right up my alley, and this is one of the reasons I'm so versed on this particular case.
Let me ask you this. Is there a website where our listeners can go to find out more about your work and what the Institute does?
Yes. You can find out more about or contact me at tarleton.edu/criminaljustice.
Tarleton.edu/criminaljustice. And I will post that on our website at jimbrownusa.com so our listeners can check that out and contact you if they feel like they want more information. Hey, Professor, listen, thanks for joining us today. It's an interesting argument legally, and, of course, it has widespread implications for other businesses across the country about what the government could or could not force them to do. As you said, it's a case in court, two different court decisions, federal court decisions, one in favor of the government, one in favor of Apple. And this be interesting to get up to the U.S. Supreme Court. We don't have a new justice yet. It's a 4-4 vote. And so there's a lot of drama in this whole issue coming up in the months to come, isn't there?
Yes, sir. Drama and rhetoric.
Okay. Professor, have a good weekend. Thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Interesting guy to put in perspective for us. And by the way, if you want to get my thoughts on it, you can go to our website at jimbrownusa.com. I wrote a column this week, should the feds have the right to break into your iPhone? And I've laid out an argument, basically what the professor and I just talked about, including a testimony before Congress. And I thought it was kind of interesting that one of the shooters said, look, I'd rather have the privacy than the right for Apple to break in. The idea is two shooters fired the gun. Well, there are two shooters out there in San Bernardino, and I think what the FBI, for legitimate reasons, would like to see the information in the phone to see whether there were other phone calls made to other potential terrorists or shooters. And so I see that their motives, I think, are okay. It's just a question of does the end justify the means is what we're talking about. And again, you can read my whole column at jimbrownusa.com. Hey, can take a break right now. We're going to talk to our old friend Alan Topol. Written a lot of great spy novels. I read all of Alan's work. He'll be joining us here in the show to talk about his latest novel, The Italian Divide, and much more to talk about. So freshen up your coffee. Come on back. We'll make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Do you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March Against Five premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We often talk about some really fascinating books. We get away from all the mundane and depressing issues of the day. One of my favorites is author Alan Topol. He's a Washington, D.C. lawyer. He's written a whole series of books. We've had Alan on the show on three or four different occasions, written books about you name it. He's written it. He takes it to different venues in different countries, which is what I like. We had one, the Argentine Triangle down in Argentina, the Russian Endgame, the Spanish Revenge, the China Gambit. I've read all these books, and he takes you to different parts of the world and does really interesting research so you feel like you're really there. And his new book out just came out called The Italian Divide. You can find order information all about it on my website at jimbrownusa.com. Glad to have Alan, as we always have on a number of occasions in the past. Hey, Alan, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show. Okay, hang on. We're just getting Alan on. New book. Oh, you got him on there. Hey, Alan, what? Glad you joined us today.
Yep.
All right.
I'm thrilled to be back. Love the show.
Okay, good. Had a little had a little connection problem there. But I just told our listeners about, I'm always fascinated, you've been on the show on three or four occasions, about the different venues that you take us to. You're a Washington, D.C. lawyer, and your novels have been translated in a number of languages, but you've taken us from Argentina to Russia to Spain to China. We travel a good bit. And which is my first question to you. Our new book, which is probably my favorite place to hang out, would be in Italy, is called The Italian Divide. And I want to talk about the book itself. But how do you determine venues? You're a busy lawyer, and your labor of love is writing these interesting spy novels, detective novels. How do you decide on Italy this time? And how do you do that in general? How do you decide, hey, I think I'm going to look at doing one in Italy, or where am I going to do the next one? How do you determine something like that?
Well, it's interesting, Jim. It goes one of two ways. And the way the Italian Divide went is actually I had taken a couple trips to Italy with my wife, just pure travel and vacation and touring, and I wasn't at all thinking about writing a book about Italy. And then from what we saw and where we were and talking to people, I really became enamored about Italy and its history, and then it caused me to start doing research into the history and the current political situation. And as a result of that, then I made several trips back to get more information. So it wasn't, I didn't start with the idea, but it was such a fascinating country. And my imagination started to run as we're traveling from one end of the country to the other. And I'm trying to put together a page-turning novel with Italy as a backdrop. So I kind of got there through the reverse process on this book.
So you're in Italy, and all of a sudden the spark comes, hey, I might set my next novel here in this country. Are you taking notes as you're traveling, or are you, you seem to have a lot of specifics in your book in terms of locations and restaurants and street names, that kind of thing? Is that something you do as you're traveling? You do that on the internet? How do you get your facts in terms of the locale that makes your book so interesting?
Well, I get them both ways. First of all, when we're traveling, I'm taking really kind of copious notes of what I'm doing and seeing. And also, I'm blessed with a very good memory to recall these kind of details even many years later. So a lot of them get into my mind. But then the internet, as you said, is wonderful. I mean, what I've missed, you can go on and pick up stuff on the internet. But there was an Italian election going on one of our trips, and I'm talking to one of my Italian friends in Italy, and this was in Milan, and he starts to explain to me about not just the history, the discrepancy between the North and the South, but you know that there's a movement toward separatism between the North and the South, and suddenly I'm stimulated by that. But as far as the restaurants and the wines and the places, and I really want to get those in detail, because what I want to do for the reader, besides giving them a page turner, I'd like them to be, when they're reading The Italian Divide, in effect be taking a little trip to Italy. And if they've been there, then they're going to recall things. And if they haven't, then I want it to be sort of a vicarious trip to Italy, and that's kind of what I try in this page-turning novel, The Italian Divide.
Yeah, that's what I liked so much, because, you know, I love going to Italy, and not just the food, but just the, and you're right about that North-South divide. Venice, for example, pours tons of money into the Italian treasury, and yet they don't get much in return. They're pretty bitter. They'd like to break off. And they were, you know, 200 years ago, Venice was its own country. They're not a long-time tie to the country of Italy. So that's a huge debate going on right now about the North saying they are spending way too much, or rather giving too much to the South. And saying that, you know, apparently the South, that'd be a great second story for you. Apparently the South generates a lot of money down in Naples and along the coast, but there's so much corruption down there and so much tax fraud that not that money's turning into the government. That's a separate novel in itself, isn't it?
It certainly is. But, I mean, you're absolutely right on the history, because until 1861, the North and the South were really separate countries. There was no unified Italy, and it was only with Garibaldi and, 1861 that the country came together. But, Jim, your comment is spot on point, because in the north, in areas in Venice and some in Milan, there actually is a separatist movement, just as there is in England with Scotland and in Catalonia, because people are saying, well, wait a minute, we're bogged down by the south. I mean, we would be a great industrial country like Germany if we could break away. And so that's one of the background issues that goes into the Italian divide. And I loved researching that, and I loved talking to people about it.
Well, now, you brought back your former CIA director, Craig Page, and I know that he has been a focal point of a number of your novels. Now, so how do you make that decision? Page has been the single protagonist that goes through a series of novels you've written, but he's not always been there. There's been other novels you've written. I think you've written 12 novels, and some of them don't have Page. How do you decide whether you bring Page in or leave him out?
Well, what happened was, this will be the 5th novel with Page. It's not just Craig, but very importantly, Elizabeth Crowder, who's his romantic interest and the newspaper reporter. But what I have been doing, since I started using Craig is really bringing him into all the international novels. And so he ends up in the international novels, he and Elizabeth together. And at the same time, the last book I wrote, The Washington Lawyer, was a totally domestic novel, and it was my effort to take a break from Craig and Elizabeth, because I sort of felt, and other thriller writers who write a lot do this as well, sometimes you want to take a break from your lead character, and which I enjoy doing. But I must say, I got back a response and emails from quite a number of people who said, what about when I brought out The Washington Lawyer, which didn't have Craig and Elizabeth? And they said, wait a minute, why don't we have Craig and Elizabeth in this novel? We want to have Craig and Elizabeth. So I said, don't worry, you're going to have them in the next novel. But it's fascinating and interesting, and you and I have talked about this before, to have the same character, to continue with that character, because you have to have the character mature and grow. And you kind of have to keep track of them. And you don't want to be writing the same novel over and over again. And Craig is a fascinating character, and I've gotten attached to Craig. And so I was kind of thrilled to bring him back, because people seem to like him, and they seem to like Elizabeth, and they
work. We're going to talk about Craig some more. Let me take a little break if I can right now to pay the bills here. Alan Topol is my guest. The Italian Divide's his new book. We've talked to him about a number of his books. This is probably my favorite so far. You can find reference to the book and a link at jimbrownusa.com. Hey, we've got one more segment to go, and I've got some good questions to ask to Alan, so stay tuned. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Talking about a new book called The Italian Divide, really a fascinating read, international intrigue, written by Alan Topol. He's been a regular on this show on a number of occasions, written 12 novels, and trying to put in perspective, we got a lot of writers out there listening to my show, so Alan might give you a tip or two. Let me ask you this, Alan. You're a big-shot Washington lawyer. You stay very busy. How do you find time to also put out a novel a year, which is what you've seen to do over the last 10 or 12 years? How do you find the time to do that?
Well, it's funny that you ask, because in a way, writing has always been my passion, and I've been writing my whole career at the same time that I've been a lawyer. And so I really do it. It's almost like a labor of love, and I go out and do it with great enthusiasm. And somebody says, well, the other thing I do it is because otherwise, if I spent all my time practicing law, I think I'd be brain dead, whereas writing gives me a chance to use some creativity, to go out and imagine stories and imagine plots. And I'll be walking around writing and reading something, and ideas come into my head. And it works well with the law practice, because the things that I learn in the law practice, the people I meet, are ideas and people that I can bring to bear in the books. So the two actually go kind of hand in hand, and I really have enjoyed this dual career for my whole life.
Well, now, you're a shoot-from-the-hip writer, where you kind of write when you find some time, or are you very disciplined where a certain time of day, just like you make an appointment to see a client, you write? And what's your schedule? Because, you're prolific. You get out a lot of words. So what's your discipline in terms of the times that you write?
I love your expression, Jim, a shoot-from-the-hip writer, because that's kind of where I am. For me, the best time ideally would be writing in the morning. I mean, all things being equal, I'd love to sit down and write for 4 or 5 hours a day, but it doesn't work that way. because of my schedule with the law practice and other things. So I really catch it when I can. I mean, ideally lots of mornings, but whenever I find the time, I'm sitting down and I'm writing. Traveling, and I do a lot of traveling, both for my law business and for personal traveling and for research. Traveling is a great way and a great time to do writing because you get away from the office, you get away from the telephones, and you have a great opportunity. So it's really catch when you can, but if you have the passion, if you want to do it, and I want to do it because for two reasons. One, I want to tell stories that are page turners. I want to entertain people. But secondly, I have things to say about geopolitical issues, as you know. And in Italy, one of the things is to talk about the nature of politics in Italy. But the other thing I want to talk about in this novel is that the Chinese are increasingly trying to gain a foothold in Western Europe to gain control of Italian banks. And that's real. I didn't make that up. That's at the heart of the Italian divide. It's the other issue, and that's Chinese efforts to gain a foothold in Europe. And I want to tell people about that. So that's the other thing that's driving me, is something to say that people will learn from the book.
Well, that's a fascinating angle of the continuing Chinese effort to grow, and particularly in the financial sector. And the United States used to be in a position of being able to contain or stop or influence the flow of what the Chinese did. But in the turmoil we're finding in this country today, it's just very difficult for us to take on that international role. And this is not really about the books per se, but there ought to be a good book about the whole changing focus of America today with this presidential election going on, and how it affects the class struggles that are going on, and a Bernie Sanders type, and pretty bringing you back home. That'd be a hell of a novel, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would, to bring you back home with a hell of a novel. And by the way, for the next book, I am working on a book that's going to bring you back home and going to involve some of those political issues. But, as you were saying earlier, from the research from Italy, that's when I talked to people who were involved in the business end in Italy, and they started telling me about Chinese buying up Italian banks. And then I start thinking, and then my mind goes, and suddenly I'm developing a plot for what became the Italian divide. But that's a critical part of it, because it's not talked about that much in the press, but it is a fast-moving world with the so-called globalization. And I'm trying to give people a little bit of an education on this issue at the same time that they're turning pages and hopefully rooting for Craig to see if he and Elizabeth can escape from the trouble that they end up getting in the Italian divide.
You've got a great following in the U.S., and it's growing with your continuing success. And I know you're negotiating for movies with some of your books, and you've got them in a number of languages. How about a book like The Italian Divide, since you're delving into those internal issues? Is there a market for your book in Italy, do you think? You're doing any special focus on the Italians in terms of the book itself?
Well, your question is really right on point, because the publisher sent out the advance reader copies to a number of Italian-American periodicals that are very well connected in Italy. And I was very, very pleased with the response, that they were extremely interested and said, gee, you managed to capture the essence of what's happening. And I am in discussions with an Italian publisher to have the book published over in Italy, translated and published. But that's something that made me feel good, because I had the same reaction in Argentina. When you're a foreigner, as I am, I'm an American writing about Italy. I'm not an Italian. And I think I've done my work, my research, and I've talked to people, and they've confirmed what I've said and what I've learned. But you still get nervous putting the book out there and wanting it to be authentic and sound real. And so the reaction I've gotten back from Italian friends and from others in the Italian media have made me feel very, very good, because they have said that this is absolutely authentic. And one of them said, I was actually surprised that an American who's not an Italian could write this kind of a book. and I'm not an Italian. I'm just an American, but it did come across that way. So I've been very pleased about that. And I am trying, and answer your question, to get an Italian publisher, and we're talking about that exactly right now. But yours is the first interview, Jim, for this book. The book's has a March 15 pub date, and I'm really happy to be out front with you on it because you have a wonderful wide audience, and it's always such a pleasure talking to you, and I'm really glad we're out of the chute first with you on this book.
Well, we're honored to have you here to start with us and to talk about, like I say, a book I found fascinating, as I have all your books, and I think this is going to be a big success. Again, Italy has a special charm for so many Americans. It's a favorite destination, and when you're getting into internal a little bit more, I think it's going to hopefully attract a lot of attention for you. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot on one thing. Let's assume I tell you here, Alan, I decided to go into a monastery, and I'm going to give up everything around me. I'm just going to read the good book, but I want to read one final book. You're my favorite author, so I'm going to read one final book. Which would be the Alan Topal book you would tell me to read?
I would tell you to read The Italian Divide without any question.
Your publisher, you damn well better say The Italian Divide. Go ahead. I'm kidding you. Go ahead.
No, but you're right. But it's a great question. One, because like other writers, I really am trying to get better from book to book, and I hope I'm getting better. And so I think that's one reason that it does, and my publisher has said, this is your best book, and you've said that. So that's the one reason. The second reason is because, for me, everything came together in The Italian Divide. The story, the page turning, the action, the history, the geopolitical affairs. And so I would say this is what I've been trying to do in all my books, and it seems like, even to a greater extent, it came together in this one. So when you were off in this monastery, I think you'd have at least a couple hours of enjoyment and page turning in your monastery if you read The Italian Divide, Jim.
Well, that's super. So we'll wish you every success with it. I know it's going to do very, very well. And like I say, I'm sure glad you started off on your show. And we'll talk about this some more over our show. My listeners can find out all about Alan's new book and order it, The Italian Divide, on our website at jimbrownusa.com. Hey, have a nice weekend, Alan. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet. Always a pleasure, Jim. Many, many thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Take care. Interesting guy, fun books, great reads, and I'm looking forward to his next one coming up. Hey, we're out of time. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. I'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, to make some more common sense, have some fun, and just hopefully let you share a good weekend with me. Take care. Talk to you again next week.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the law state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.